Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now at 844-322-2742, and we have a very special treat for our listeners. Andrew Farley is actually in studio with us, and Andrew, always good to have you here on Basic Gospel.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob. Great to be with you.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, we've got a lot of great questions to talk through and to point people into the Word of God, and which is what this program is all about. But before we get started, this whole month we've been talking about joy and contentment and how we can truly experience that as human beings. And, you know, I've met people all over the world, and I've yet to meet one who isn't looking for a source of joy and contentment in life. And I bet that's the same story as far as you're concerned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk about Jesus bringing us rest, and we're excited about heaven someday. But really, a lot of us, we spend our lives in Christ looking forward to a future date, but not really knowing what it means to be content in Jesus right here, right now.
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, the book of Philippians really talks us through that. How can we experience joy and contentment? And I love this passage at the very end of the book, Philippians 4:19, and it says this: "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And when it comes to needs, financial needs, and all of the things that we experience as human beings, that's where we can lose our minds. That's where we can become very anxious. That's where we can become worried and fearful, and have this incredible restlessness and can't sleep. Our stomachs get tied in knots. And right. Yet here we have this amazing promise, and if we truly believed it, then we could go through life with a sense of joy and a sense of contentment and a sense of rest, knowing that God is going to take care of us as he's done every day of our lives up to this very moment.
Yeah, I can do all things. This is that passage that, you know, you read at graduations, and you constantly recognize, all right, I need to know this. I can do all things. But what does that mean? What is that really about? Because it's been played out as some sort of passage where you get all this confidence about your future job and your achievements. Boy, if you believe hard enough, you can be an astronaut. If you believe hard enough, you can be the president of the United States. You can do all things through Christ. And yet in context, Bob, it's saying that you can find contentment no matter what your circumstances are. This is not about the American dream mixed with Christianity. This is about surviving tragedy. This is about making it through some of the most difficult things any person could face, and yet knowing that your contentment is rock solid in Jesus. It's unshakable, unbreakable. Nobody can take it from you, that Christ is your life. I mean, we say that all the time. Christ is my life, and it sounds really cool, but when tragedy hits, to really know that Christ is your life, that's pretty important.
Oh, that is huge. I mean, that is so, so big. And I know you and I have talked about this in my moments of just thinking through life and what the state of the church is in. It's like if only more Christians knew, yeah, and not only knew, but fully believe that Christ was their life, and this very promise that he is going to take care of them, what a difference that would be, or what a difference the church could make out there in the world to reflect that state of rest, that peace that they have in Jesus.
Yeah, you know, it seems like our target, we've made our target into these amazing good works when the cameras are rolling and all our friends are watching, or when we're at church for an hour, these amazing good works that we're doing as we volunteer here or do this or do that. But when you actually look at the true target of the Christian life, you see that the target is this stability, this anchor in Jesus, that there's this ability to rise above your circumstances and have a heavenly perspective even on earth, and to know that Jesus is with you and in you, and that he's your life no matter what you're going through. So it's not about these dazzling works that we're going to do that everybody's going to see. Really, I think, Bob, over the years, it's Christ is working in us a stability and a peace and a confidence in him that kind of emanates in everything that we do.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, let's talk about it on today's program. If you would like to talk more about joy and peace and contentment and how to experience it, maybe you're going through some difficulties, today's the day to pick up that phone and dial 844-322-2742. Andrew is here. I'm here. We will direct you into the Word of God and walk you through how you can really rest in the fact that Christ is your life, can rest in the promises that he has delivered to you through his marvelous grace, through his death, burial, and resurrection. So go ahead and pick up that phone right now. Call 844-322-2742. That is toll-free here in the United States and in Canada. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. In the meantime, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio, and we are so grateful for the many people across this country who support us month in and month out to help us get this good news on the airwaves. Boy, we're at a time where people really need the grace of God. There's never been a time in human history that people didn't need the grace of God, but it just seems like with all that's going on out in the world today, we see more and more people hungry for truth, hungry for answers. They're looking for something. They've tried everything known to man, and they're still empty, and they are looking for answers that are only available in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So your support of Basic Gospel is helping deliver those answers to people, not only here in the United States, but literally worldwide. So we ask you to join with us with a gift this month to Basic Gospel. We have a wonderful resource that will help you experience joy and contentment in your own Christian experience. It's a CD series that I did on the book of Philippians. It's called Stand. We want to put that in your hands. And it is our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Go to basicgospel.net. Click the donate button, follow all the instructions, and be sure to request your copy of Stand, and we'll put it in your hands as quickly as possible. Well, Andrew, again, the number 844-322-2742. Go ahead and pick up that phone, dial that number, and talk with me and Andrew on today's program. But in the meantime, Andrew, here's a great question from Marie, and it deals with self-image. She writes this: I get very confused when I listen to so many different people preaching the gospel. I know God loves me, but I always feel inadequate. I am always aware of my sins, real or exaggerated. I pray all the time. I pray for my enemies. I worry about what God thinks about me. She says, I want to grow closer to Jesus, but all this self-conscious behavior makes me feel very uptight. I am very intelligent. Why can't I grasp this?
Well, first of all, Marie, you're not unusual. I think you're asking all the right questions. It's just that the answers take time and they take truth. And so you're digging deep into the basic gospel message, and rightly so. You know, as far as praying for your enemies and trying to be this sacrificial person and hoping that on the other side of that, that finally you're going to feel peace. Well, I've got some great news for you. You know, when Jesus listed out all of these difficult, not even difficult, but impossible teachings in the Sermon on the Mount, his goal was not to create anxiety in you as a believer. His goal was not for you to wake up every day and try to fulfill a laundry list of to-dos in order to get your feelings to line up and feel better and feel closer to God. No, the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount was to show that if we were ever going to achieve it, we couldn't. If we were ever going to do it by by works. The standard is off the charts, unbelievable. It's a perfect and impossible standard. And so, Bob, I think we've got some really good news for Marie, because in terms of everything that she's wanting from God, well, Jesus has already accomplished all of that. You know, the gift of closeness to him is a free gift. The gift of cleanness before him is a free gift. I mean, when we start obsessing, and maybe that's what it takes, an obsession. You know, Paul was obsessed, but we become obsessed with the cross and the resurrection. And if we make it our life's goal to become an expert in the love of God, an expert in the grace of God, then we're focusing our energy in the right place and on the right person. And that reaps all kinds of dividends in terms of just finding rock solid peace in Christ. And I think it sounds like Marie has been involved in the age old approach of, if I do my part, then God's going to let me enjoy this. And if I get permission to feel good when I've done good. And the gospel is the polar opposite of that. We get to feel good, so to speak, because of what Jesus did. And it starts at day one when we're 100% righteous in him.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. She has an interesting phrase here, an interesting sentence. She says, I'm always aware of my sins, real or exaggerated. And I just wonder if kind of underneath that is not so much her sins, but what's going to happen to me as a result of these sins. What is God going to do to me because I've committed X, Y, or Z?
Yeah.
And I think that's where we become so sin conscious, because we're so worried about what may lie up ahead for us. I know that was kind of my life. I just walked on spiritual eggshells, wondering when God was just gonna come down on me hard.
Yeah.
I didn't know how he was gonna do it, but I just felt that at some point God was going to send his punishment and justice was going to be taken care of. So I'm just wondering, yeah, if Marie may be thinking that same thing. It's not so much the sins that she's thinking about, but she's worried about the consequence as far as punishment, yeah, is concerned.
Yeah.
And isn't that where the cross really answers that?
Yeah, I mean, concerns are justified because the wages of sin is death. But, of course, the amazing answer is that Jesus died and he paid those wages. So the wages of sin is death, but Jesus died. There's no wages left. And as I like to say, you can do the math on that and then celebrate the result, because you're debt-free. You don't owe God. You're never going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to pay for your sins. Jesus already did that. So that's why Paul can say there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's how the Apostle John can say that we can have perfect confidence in the day of judgment. No fear at all. Because God's perfect love casts out our fear. You know, fear, it even says fear involves punishment. So if there's fear, I'm imagining punishment. But wait a minute, Jesus took the punishment. That was the whole point of the cross. And so, Bob, it's interesting, because I don't think Marie is alone. I think we've got a mixed message out there. You know, we celebrate on day one of salvation. Jesus died for my sins. There's no condemnation. He took it all. We even sing it. He paid it all, to him I owe. He paid it all. Nothing but the blood. We sing this stuff. We shout this stuff. And then 5 minutes or 5 years later, we're getting a mixed message. Now, wait a minute. Am I going to have to pay for my sins? And the whole thing is convoluted. It's double talk, and yeah, we don't even realize.
We're only white as snow on Sunday.
Right.
Every other day, where, you know, that sin has tainted us. But
right.
Yeah, we have to come to grips with what Christ did and the reality of the new covenant, that God remembers our sins no more. So here we are, sin conscious, and God isn't.
Yeah.
And so we need to get on his page. Because he's not going to get on ours, is he?
Right, yeah. So when you and the God of the universe disagree, who's right? And that's a healthy question to ask, because he says your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Hebrews 10:14, one of my favorite verses by one offering, you've been made perfect forever, past, present, future. So here's Jesus dying 2,000 years ago. All of your sins are in the future. He died for every single one. He didn't leave any out. And when we wrap our minds around the totality of what Jesus Christ has done for us, then the question of punishment, the question of judgment, the question of fear with God, all of that takes care of itself because we start agreeing with one simple idea, it is finished.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. That's the number. Andrew, you and I have a great conference coming up in October, October 15th through the 17th, right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at the Hilton Garden Inn in Louisville, Texas, actually. We're calling this United, and you're going to hear much of what you just talked about as far as the finished work of Christ is concerned and the fact that we are united to Christ and united to one another. So talk to our listeners a little bit of why a conference like this is so vitally important and what they might leave this conference with as far as their spiritual lives are concerned.
Yeah, so if you enjoy the Basic Gospel broadcast, that's occurring 20, 25, 26 minutes a day, imagine being able to dig deeper. Imagine being able to fellowship with people from all over North America who now think like you do as we together celebrate in a united fashion. We celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ. So it's one thing to be able to give a 5 or 7 minute answer to someone about their forgiveness or their new identity. But, Bob, this is going to be a special weekend where we all gather together and we really dig into God's Word together and we answer the tough questions. People are going to come to the conference with their concerns and their questions and their life issues. We'll have a format where we can address those in a Q&A style fashion, and there's just going to be a lot of time. And, you know, earlier in the broadcast, I said it's time plus truth. Well, you know, you don't get an intravenous shot of this. This is more like the 80-year plan of learning and getting our minds renewed. And I see this United Conference as a great way to get your mind renewed and to interact with other believers who are on the same page.
Absolutely. So come and be a part of it, October 15th through the 17th. All the information on how you can register is on our website at basicgospel.net. So don't miss this great event. It's been a long time since we've been able to gather together with COVID and all of those sort of things. So this is going to be a great opportunity. And there's something special that happens when we gather together as children of God, especially as we're growing together in His love and grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, basicgospel.net. Let's go to our phone lines, Andrew, and talk with Albert listening to us in South Carolina. Hi, Albert.
Good. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Okay, I got something in my mind that I've had for a long time, and you know, I've used to listen to Bob George all the time, and about, you know, that we don't come to Christ for forgiveness only, but we come to Christ for life, which I agree 100%. But what I've been thinking of was that you know, a lot of times as Christians we say that we come to Christ. And we, when we come to Christ, we are forgiven of our sins. And I think that it's not just Christians. I'm not talking about universal salvation now, but I'm thinking that everybody, the sins of the whole world was paid at the cross. Mm-hmm. And the reason, just like what Bob George used to say, the reason that you come to Christ is for life, because the forgiveness of sin has been granted to everyone in the world, including non-believers. Non-believers, their sins are not accounted to them anymore.
Okay, Albert, let me ask you this. Do you remember what was taught long ago about 1 John 1:9? Who is 1 John?
Oh, yeah, by confessing.
Well, yes, remember, no, wait a minute. Remember, the whole point is that 1 John 1:9 was addressing an unbeliever, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
And it has the word if in it. If you confess. If you admit your sinfulness, then God will forgive you and cleanse you. But if you don't, as an unbeliever, if you don't admit your sinfulness, then God will not forgive you and cleanse you. So I think what we're what we're realizing here is if we have a consistent message, then we have to say, wait a minute, 1 John 1:9 was written to somebody. It was written to at least one person who didn't have their sins forgiven and didn't have their sins cleansed yet. So forgiveness is not found in Adam, it's found in Christ. And so even though Jesus died for the whole world, and even though the offer of forgiveness and life is extended to the whole world, some people won't confess their sinfulness. Some people won't 1 John 1:9, and so then they remain unforgiven and they remain uncleansed. And that's why when we go to Revelation 20, they're judged for their deeds. Because if they were forgiven, then they wouldn't be judged for their deeds. So I hear you that forgiveness is for the whole world. It is offered in Christ to the whole world. God was in Christ reconciling the world. But then the very next verse says that he begs us to be reconciled to him. So we have to respond to it in order to receive that forgiveness in Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yes, and but I have something to add to it.
Yeah.
You see, the 1 John 1:9, mm-hmm. the word sin is like the word love. That you could go many places in the Bible, mm-hmm. and there's different types of love. And the word sin, there's different types of sin. Mm-hmm. If you look at the word sin in 1 John, it's not a verb, it's not actions, it's a noun.
Right.
It's a feminine noun. So it's a condition of sin. In other words, that condition of sin, and just like the works, it could be a condition that you're trying to do good works, and that's what the world does. The
yes,
world,
yes.
Always, if you look at the world, what they're trying to say is you do good works, and you could make it to heaven, mm-hmm. you see?
Yep.
So 1 John is not talking about a verb. It's talking about a noun, a
sure.
state of sin.
Okay. All right, so let's run with that. Let's run with that, Bob. I mean, obviously, you know, let's say that it's talking about this noun sin. Still, there's an if statement, and I've got to come to my senses. You know, if I'm a sin denier, if I'm a Gnostic, if I'm someone who won't agree with God about my sinfulness as a noun, my sinful condition, then I'm stuck. I'm refusing Jesus. I'm refusing Messiah. I'm refusing the cross, and therefore I'm still dead in my sins. And, you know, Acts 26 says, I'm sending you, Paul. God is saying, I'm sending you so that they will turn from darkness to light, so that they will turn from Satan to God and receive the forgiveness of sins. That has to be received, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think the whole story really gets down to Jesus. I mean, what God offers to us is Jesus Christ himself. And bound up in Jesus is eternal life, is forgiveness, is righteousness, is holiness.
Yes.
All those things that become ours as gifts of grace when we receive him.
Yeah.
And I think that's the story. And I love what Paul said in Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's all bound up in Jesus.
Yeah.
And so the story is always this. The question is always this. Are you in Christ or are you in Adam?
Yeah.
And if you're in Adam, there's good news. There's a way to get out of Adam
yeah.
and into Christ, and that is by grace through faith.
Yes.
That is our response to the grace of God, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Albert, thank you for your call today. We sure appreciate the question. God bless you. You call anytime. Andrew, this time has flown by.
I
so
know.
Glad that you were with us in studio today. And just a reminder to our listeners, Basic Gospel is listener supported. We would love your help, your support. You can make a contribution and help others receive the good news of Jesus Christ by giving to Basic Gospel. Go to basicgospel.net, click on the donate button, follow the instructions. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands that will help you experience the full measure of joy and contentment through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, for Andrew, for our entire team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Louisville. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.